house, I bow my knees. A posture of prayer. Prayer is to your spirit what the respiratory system is to your body. Now, who they pray? They breathe. When you pray, you receive heavenly allocations. When you pray, you are refreshed. When you pray, you are rejuvenated. When you pray, you are revived. This is how we prevail. Be found alone. Find someone alone. Letopati keputo. Kishema. Ordain you as a prophet to the nations. To tear down. To kick down. To destroy. He said, and to build. Skipa. How will you do it? Prayer. For this course, I bow my knees.
I said, Master, teach us to pray. As the disciples of John, as John taught his disciples to pray. Jesus did not say, well, these things cannot be taught. It is only caught. No, he taught them. Amen. That means anything that can be taught can be caught. Anything that can be caught can be taught. That's what I wanted to say. Hallelujah. Spiritual things can be taught. And I added very quickly to you that anywhere prayer is properly taught and excellently modeled, people will love to pray. Amen. And people will have answers to their prayers. Hallelujah. Amen. So prayer can be taught. The series this morning is an attempt to upgrade your prayer life by precepts and example, by theory and practical. Glory to God. So Tuesdays and Sundays, we'll have time to just express ourselves in prayer. Seriously, how many of you felt free by just praying? You felt light. Amen. You felt light. In the environment, something will jump on you. Hallelujah. Your life will be the same. The Bible says, as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. Things happen to you when you pray. There's a change. Organic change, actually. Change from within. Hallelujah. So prayer can be taught, prayer can be modeled, and people can grow when they are taught prayer by precepts and example. And they'll see the answers to their prayers. Hallelujah. All right, so we gave you a strong why to pray. Were you blessed by that? We say prayer is breathing. Prayer is what? Breaking and building. And prayer is birthing. Hallelujah. Prayer is breathing, we said. Now who they pray, they breathe. Hallelujah. Prayer is the ventilating system of the human spirit. If you are not praying, you are choking. If you are not praying, you are fainting. Amen. And we also said a few other things. Breaking and building. Next week Sunday is Media Thanksgiving. Okay, so upper week we'll return to teaching on prayer. But even the Thanksgiving, we'll find time to pray. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes, you should pray. Wickedness has multiplied in the earth. You know, the way some Christians live is as though Satan is not alive. I want to announce to you, Satan is alive. Amen. You know that Jesus is alive. Satan is also alive. Praise God. The Bible said the habitations of the earth are filled with, the dwelling place of the earth are filled with habitations of cruelty, right? Habitations of cruelty. That whole idea that, well, let sleeping dog lie. If I don't touch him, he doesn't touch me, is a lie. Wickedness is multiplying every day. If you are paying attention to your environment, you know that. Wickedness is multiplying it every day. And sometimes we may look for natural explanation. You know, unfortunately, this is how the realm of the spirit operates. In Genesis 3, we saw it. Abel offered a sacrifice. Genesis 4. Abel offered a sacrifice. Cain offered a sacrifice. It was as though they were doing the same thing. But the Bible says in the process of time, there was a difference. That means the things that happen in the realm of the spirit are carried out in the physical realm in the process of time. Maybe some of you were not privileged to go to certain villages. Maybe your village has been completely Christianized. But see, I've traveled to the village before and I've heard strange stories. Actually witnessed one. A young child who was less than 3 years died very suddenly. like it happened in the days of Elisha. My head, right? And the child just died for nothing. You know, we can find medical explanation for what just happened. But like 3 days before then, an old man, I think I told you this story here before. An old man was picking his teeth in the morning. I mean, he was so poor, he could not afford meat. Amen. They say, Baba, why are you picking your teeth? He said, he just ate meat. They say, Baba, you don't have some child. He said, he just ate meat. That people don't understand. He just ate meat. Amen. 3 days, the grandson died. Are you with me? And then he later confessed that they ate the boy in their coven. In your biological science, they can't explain that to you. Do you understand? When you went to school, you can't, that is not within the frame of reference of your books in school. How did Baba eat and pick his teeth? And 3 days later, the grandson died. And he confessed that they ate him in the coven. And that you are thinking, you think he's lying. You know, if you approach life with a purely Western construct, a humanist construct, you will say, well, that was just a paranormal activity. Paranormal. But it's not paranormal. It's called demonic activities. Demonic activities. At 17, I went to see my grandfather. I stayed in my father's house. That's many, many years ago. And suddenly I was in a trance. I was digging a grave. And somebody tapped me and said, this is your grave you are digging. But thank God I was already filled with the Holy Ghost. Satan came too late. Too late. I opened my eyes and I screamed, is your grave I was digging, not mine? Are you with me? Find a strong why to pray. That's what I'm saying. Find a strong why to pray. Don't let your life just don't let the years pass by and you're just meandering. Things are happening anyhow and you're quiet. Don't let it happen. Are you with me? Glory to God forevermore. All right, today we'll be talking about developing a prayer life or cultivating a prayer life. Who wants to hear this? Truly, who wants to hear this? All right, I'll begin with a story. Some years ago, I read a book, a personal development book, and the author of the book made a claim that startled me. He made a claim that amazed me. And I initially did not believe him until I picked my calculator and I figured his claims were true. He was talking about the power of compound effect. He said, if a penny doubles every day, if a penny, you know a penny is less than a dollar. If a penny doubles every day, in 31 days, that penny will become $10 million. I screamed, I protested. I said, this cannot be true. Until I carried my calculator, I calculated it, and I saw that his claims were true. And that is the power of compound effect. Compound effect is the principle that yields huge rewards for a series of small and smart choices. That's what compound effect is. Are you with me? And this is the same for a prayer life. That means to maximize the power of prayer, you must approach it from the understanding of compound effect. Once you understand, listen, they just figured out the law. Maricello says all of the spiritual laws have parallel in the natural and even in the kingdom of darkness. So the law of compound effect has a parallel, or is a parallel of a reality law in the realm of the spirit. Are you with me? Now, when you look at that closely, you know that small, smart choices made every day will lead you to huge harvest. Huge harvest. And that alludes to the reality of a prayer life. When we teach about a prayer life, this is not just a momentary prayer that brings immediate result that you can see. And this is why I'm bringing the story of the power of compound effect. And actually, it's a law in the universe that for anything to grow in health and to maximize its potential, it must engage the laws of compound effect. The same thing with the prayer life. I say it again, the power of prayer is not maximized or cannot be maximized until you approach it from the compound effect, from the compound effect, from the position of compound effect. So the concern is a daily input, not just the one time. Are you with me? So the compound effect describes the consistency of a prayer life. A healthy and lasting growth in any enterprise comes by compound effect. And it is the same for prayer. It is the consistency that delivers the results. You see, many believers don't have a prayer life. And sadly so. And unfortunately so. Amen. But the Lord is correcting that from here. I said the Lord is correcting that from here. When you go to the early church, we did a teaching last year. We called it Primitive Apostolic Practices. And our anchor scripture was, our landing page actually was Acts chapter 2, verse 32. It said, and they continue steadfastly in prayer. They continue steadfastly in prayer. Prayer was one of the things, amen. They continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in breaking of bread, and in prayer. Glory to God. Now, that continuing steadfastly, not just there, scattered all over the book of Acts, you will see stories, practices, scenarios that tells you very clearly, or that tell you very clearly, that the early church was big on the prayer life. Or let me rephrase, that the understanding that they had about prayer was that prayer was meant to be a lifestyle. Not just something they used to meet their personal needs. Not just something they engaged in to satisfy their religious mind. Prayer was designed to be a lifestyle. So from this statement, and the continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship in breaking of bread, and in prayer, we already see that. The continuing steadfastly means there was a consistency. There you see three ingredients of a prayer life. There was a consistency. That means it was repeated. It was in routine. It was regimented. It also means it was protracted. That means it was lengthy sometimes. Three, it also means it was fervent. That means intensity. Are you with me? Glory to God forevermore. So it was a prayer life. It was a lifestyle. It wasn't something that was done once in a while. It was a habit. It was a devotion. And like I said earlier, the power of anything is in the consistency, the fervency, and the protractedness. Are you with me? Never forget that. So I want to open your mouth, open your mind, and be hungry as we learn, and put the things you'll be learning to work. Yes, and there's a precise way to develop a prayer life. Coming to church and praying and praying as we're praying together, it's good. It's just one of the ingredients, but does not equal a prayer life. We can say a believer has a prayer life where prayer, when prayer has become a consistent routine character of their daily life. We can say a person has the prayer life when prayer or communion with God, intercession, whatever is within the framework of prayer, has become a constant feature, a constant character of their daily life. And not just that, over time, we can see the progression of their lives and see a man and a woman upon whose head the hand of the Lord has rested. Are you with me? Jesus had a prayer life. The apostles had a prayer life. The early church had a prayer life. I have many scriptures here. In Acts chapter 1 verse 4. Here and there in the book of Acts and in the writings of the apostles, which is the epistles, we can see their commitment to prayer and the content of their prayer, suggesting that their focus was a prayer life, not just a key to getting something momentarily done. Are you with me? The focus was a prayer life. Acts chapter 1 verse 4, verse 14. They were gathered together to pray. in response to the promise of power. Acts chapter 2 verse 42, we just read it. Acts chapter 3 verse 1. The Bible says, somebody read it earlier. Had the gate called Beautiful. I can't remember who was upstage. You read it. We talked about that. At the gate, okay, I believe it was a talk show. At the gate of the temple, Peter and John, I believe, were going in to pray at the hour of prayer. That means it was a custom. That means prayer was a routine. And there was a regimen to it, a regimentation to it. Are you with me? Acts chapter 2, verse 24. Acts 2:24. When they got persecuted, their response was prayer. Now, why am I giving these instances? Their attitude in these cases or in these scenarios that I'm quoting suggested that they were people of prayer. You know why? Those who have a prayer life will always have a reflex prayer response to the emergencies of life. Let me say that again. One of the ways you know that a person, a family, a church, a group of people have a prayer life is that they will have a reflex prayer response to the emergencies of life. You will know it. You can't take it away from them. It cannot be hidden. So when things happen, when they come under pressure, their reflex response, you know, we talk about reflex actions in basic science, right? That means the things you do even without thinking, it's just reflex. It's called conditioned response. You respond in prayer. When you hear something negative, something within you responds. You are not reasoning it. You are not saying, yeah, is that what they are planning? Something you respond. You are not pretending it is a part of you. It's one of the things that happens to people who have a prayer life. You respond. When they say I saw, or somebody sharing a vision with you, for example, I saw a vision and the city was attacked by armed men. Your first response, that may not even be prayer. Your first response, it can be taken for a prayer though. Your first response will be a prophetic utterance. That is a form of prayer. In the name of Jesus, their plans have failed. Not here. So in that Acts chapter 4, yes, that Acts chapter 4, verse 24, that was what happened. They were persecuted. And they returned to their own company and lifted up their voices and began to pray. The Bible says, after they had prayed, the place shook. The place shook. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. Are you getting blessed already? Now, a prayer life is built around fellowship with the Father and around the matters of your destiny, not around occasional prayer points. You can write that down. A prayer life is built around fellowship with the Father and around the matters of your destiny or the fulfillment of your destiny. Not around occasional prayer points. Now, this is why you heard me say earlier that praying fervently in church is good. When prayer points are raised, is wonderful. It's one of the ingredients. But see, if that's all you do, and in fact, it depends on the kind of prayers that are being raised in church. And also, you can go to your personal prayer time, quote and unquote, and dwell on certain... Listen, what I'm simply saying is, if the majority of your praying, even when you have a lot of prayer time, and most of what you do praying is the prayer points that are around just personal needs, are you with me? Just breakthrough. There's nothing wrong with that. You know that already. But if that's all you do, you don't have a prayer life. Because the prayer life is built primarily around fellowship with the Father and the matters of your destiny. Are you with me? Thirdly, kingdom advancement, of course. Your destiny has to do with the advancement of the kingdom. So they are all connected. Praying from a book, my father, as I begin to pray, every enemy blocking my breakthrough, fall down and die, be taken out of the way. That is good. But you see, if that occupies 90% of your prayer, you don't have a prayer life. For environmental reasons, things may happen for you. But that is not the prayer life. Because that does not suggest devotion, fellowship. And it doesn't capture the entirety of you. Listen, a major pathway to the fulfillment of your destiny is undiluted fellowship with God. Where your prayer, there are no prayer points, you are just praying in tongues, just exercising your spirit and just waiting on the Lord. We call it wait. I learned this from Benny Hinn years ago. We call it waiting on the Lord. I mean, probably somebody asked him, what does it mean to wait on the Lord? He said, it means to wait on the Lord. You see, I fasted one day. I prayed. God did not speak to me. You are waiting on the Lord. Keep waiting. Keep waiting. If you are waiting on the Lord, that means the focus is Him. The focus is not you. That means you are ready to hear what He will tell you. The guidance, the words, the light that will shine from heaven. Because listen, in the atmosphere of God's presence, your potentials thrive. It's like a fertilizer to your potentials. And that happens with that mindset of fellowship, of communion, of loving on the Lord, of inquiring about what He will have you do, of inquiring about the next step. About, are you with me? A believer who takes major steps without consulting God does not have a prayer life. Four guys wants to marry you. There you have calculated. You are doing permutation. This one is tall, dark and handsome. Doesn't have money like Dasha. But it makes me feel good. Number two. He loves God. He has plenty of money. He's not romantic at all. He's just dry. He's boring. Have you heard the lady say that he's boring? Number three, he has some money. Number three, are you with me? Then you sit down. After analyzing the three, or for some of you have five, may God help you. You now see that you're calculating. Kai, what's the most important thing in life? I've suffered though. If your mother called you from a village and called you and say, let me not call anybody sleep. You say, you know we have suffered. Don't bring any poor man to this house. So the pressure from your mom is there. The pressures of your own carnal proclivities are there. And then you are calculating. Even when you claim you were praying, you were telling God, approve this guy. You went to pray for approval. You are not. Listen, what I'm saying is, if you have a prayer life, you are not coming to God with a preconceived notion. He said, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. He will direct your steps. You are coming there and say, Lord, I bow before you. I pull my shoes, for where I'm standing is the Holy Ground. Meaning, I do not hold tightly to my perspective. What are you saying? What are you saying? These are the foundations of building a prayer life.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
These are the foundations. He's built around communion, fellowship with the Father, and a life that is fully submitted to God's government. Completely under the dominion, the influence, the dictates of His words. If you take these two things out, there's no prayer life. The person may be praying every day, but there's no prayer life. Why? Like I said, the focus is Him. If it's not the focus, it's not the prayer life. If it's not the focus, there's no devotion. If the focus are the things, the next level, the next thing you need, if that's just the focus. Again, I repeat, those things are important. But the Bible says they are added. They are added. They are added. The focus has to be Him. That's the foundation of a prayer life. You want to know Him more. You want to know what is in His mind. You want to fellowship with Him. You want to consult with Him. You can't wake up one day and say, I'm relocating to New York. Like I say, you may have new yokes on your back. Selah. You can't wake up and just say, well, the condition of this country, we need to relocate to Canada. No, no. A Christian doesn't live like that. You inquire of the Lord. Did you ever read about the man David? No wonder the Bible calls him a man after God's heart. Because what was important to God was important to him. Because he would not take a step until he knew what God was saying. Especially for major decisions. You can't just think it through. Major decisions, no. All decisions are not the same. Are you here? Any spouse will tell you that when your husband and your wife include you in their decision making, you feel special. True or false? What makes you think God doesn't feel special when you include him in your decision making? You know what I mean by feel special? He feels involved. David will inquire, should I pursue? Should I overtake? And the Lord will speak to him. You go to God again. What do you want me to do? He wanted to build, and he inquired of the Lord. And the Lord told him, guy, you can't build me a house. Your son will get it done. And he made available the materials of the building. What a man. So what we're saying is the foundation of a prayer life is fellowship with the Father. Operating under his authority, under his government. That's the foundation. The matters of your destiny. That's the foundation. Not praying prayer points and running off. No. That's what we're saying. And once these two things become important to you, fellowship with God, you want to know God more, you want to relate with him, you want to be everything he wants you to be, you want his kingdom to advance in the earth, once it becomes important to you, the first thing is you would decide to be a person of prayer. You would decide. It's automatic. I've not seen anyone who saw the necessity of knowing God, who was awakened to the fatherhood of God, who was awakened to the reality of the destiny they were supposed to fulfill, who did not make a decision to know God. I've not seen anyone. Are you aware that the things we enjoy today as revelation, they came forth? Some of the hymns we sing today came forth from the devotional life of certain people. You ask yourself, so what am I going to leave for my own generation and the generations to come? Once you think like that, you would decide to have a prayer life. Are you with me? Some of you are parents already. Some of you are to be parents. In this dark world, in this present evil world, how do you intend to raise a culture of heaven in your home and to raise children in an environment of God's culture, of heaven's culture, of Zion's culture without the prayer life? It's impossible. It's impossible. It's impossible. If not for anything, for your children. Because your actions affect your children. The Bible says that Levi paid tithe in the loins of Abraham. Watch this. When Abraham gave tithe to Melchizedek, Levi paid tithe in the loins of Abraham. That means as you are kabashing, your children are kabashing. You are praying. Lego, bredi, lekopa, mande, lek. We call it parental privilege. When they come out, there's prayer on their head already. Do you understand? They can't go somewhere, be smoking and drinking. Whose son? Whose how? They are arranged into shape by the investment of prayer. Some of you are living examples of what I'm talking about. You try to misbehave, you could not. You try, you could not. You could not. Makapa, mama's prayer was burning on your head. You couldn't. All the bad friends that came around you ran away. I've never had a bad friend in my life. My mother's prayer was too hot. Too hot. When they come out, they run. No luxury. No luxury. You can't. Oh, kabedo kesushte pura bakataya. Are you with me? A prayer life. A prayer life. A prayer life. I taught you about the three D's of developing a prayer life. I don't know if you remember that. We'll go through that. The three D's of developing a prayer life. Now, substituting the word developing for cultivating will bring an agricultural process to mind. I need to hear this. Okay? In the three D's, talk about decision, discipline, and delight, right? We'll get into that. But just substitute developing with cultivating. That's an agro process, right? Cultivating. Okay? And in the cultivating process, you have the planting, the tending, and the harvest. Okay? The planting, the tending, and the harvest. So, planting, you want a prayer life, you have to plant seeds of prayer. And that's the decision phase. Right? That decision phase. Seeds of prayer. Hearing the word. Being in an environment where prayer is being offered. Hearing messages like this. Making a decision. Convincing yourself with a strong why to pray. So there's planting, there's tending. Tending takes discipline. Is that true? Of course, there'll be a crop failure if you don't tend the farm. And that is discipline. So it's not enough to start. It's not enough to decide. There has to be a discipline to continue. And then the harvest. Harvest is the delight. But it's still an active process. If you leave the harvest, the birds of the air will come and destroy it. Glory to God forevermore. Are you with me? Hallelujah. So there is, if you think about it like a farmer, your prayer life, there's planting, there's tending, and there's harvest. So back to our regular 3D. There's the decision to pray. The decision to pray. The decision to start. Thank God we spoke about the strong why last week. For this cause I bow my knees. Anytime you are confused about the reason to pray, go and listen to that message. For this cause I bow my knees. There's a decision to start. And I've been discussing about that already. The decision to start. The wickedness in the world. The necessity of your knowledge of God. The necessity of the fulfillment of your destiny. You should sponsor the decision to be a man of prayer. The decision to call upon the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. And you see, this decision has to start from where you are. Let me issue a disclaimer. You see, when you come to church like this and people are praying, and you hear pastor say things like, "Ah, the other day, I prayed from 5 a.m. to 5 p.m. Don't say, "That is 12 hours. I've never prayed for 1 hour." Don't say that. Listen, God will always start with us from where we are. Are you with me? Start from where you are. Start from your last experience of God. Or your current experience of God. What experience of God have you had? How did you experience God? It may be 1 hour and you're excited about it. Put it before you. It may be 30 minutes and you knew you spoke to God and God spoke to you. Start from there. Start from there. God is asking you to build your own altar. Not pastor's altar. Yeah. Not Pastor Peter's altar. Are you with me? Never let anybody's story intimidate you from being in a fix as far as having a prayer life is concerned. Start from where you are. There's nobody who is praying 10 hours today, 12 hours today, and they say this person is a prayer warrior, is a praying mantis. Who didn't have time where they could not pray for 30 minutes? Nobody. They decided to start from somewhere. And be consistent. Can you give God 30 minutes every day? Can you give God 1 hour every day? Can you make it a particular time of the day? Of course, the minimum should be 1 hour. Are you with me? At least an hour. That was what Jesus said. He said, can't you wait with me for at least an hour? So minimum 1 hour. You can do everything. You speak in tongues. You know, when you are beginning, your mouth will be dry. Okay. You feel. Some of you remember the story. The first time you wanted to pray for long. Amen. You see, if you are not empirical, you didn't know how short you prayed. But you see, if you're empirical, you learned the greatest lesson of your life. That means you kept a wristwatch and pray. Ragebolodo, Jebedele Kepra, Embedos Kabade, Eya Baba Baba Baba, Oh Rebebebebe. You sang it, oh Lord, come down and manifest your power. Hope you don't sing that song anymore. He has come. He said, do not say, who shall. He said, but the word is near thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, the word of faith which you preach. You see, God's word should govern the songs you sing. Don't say, it's just a song, it's not important. No, songs are the easiest ways to your heart. So your songs, you see, songs is lyrical theology.
Yes, sir.
So the theology must be right, the doctrine must be right for you to sing it. We have come again, Father. Where did you go to? Where did you go to? We live in his presence. We live in his presence. And that is a consciousness he must carry. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Have you come to believe it? I will never leave you nor forsake you. You can't catch me singing, pass me not to gentle Savior. He's not passing anywhere. He has told me, he will never leave me nor forsake me. So you sang the powerful song and prayed again. You pray for your mother, your grandmother, your grandfather, everybody you lifted, you committed them to the hand of the Lord. And then you look at time and you had to get another wristwatch to verify. So no, this time is not working. It's not possible. It's not possible. 15 minutes? How? I should have prayed for an hour, 30 minutes. Now, if it has happened to you before, let me see your hand. Let me see all the liars in God's house. You see, everybody's house should be off. Hallelujah. But you see, you didn't stop there. You had the discipline to continue. Are you with me? Your decision to pray was stronger than those momentary discouragement. 15 minutes. It has happened to your dear pastor before. Many, 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 many years ago. Maybe some of you were not born. Let me feel old. Hallelujah. I prayed. I remember the first time I prayed. I was a young teenager. I prayed for 1 hour. It was long. It was long. And guess what? I was already speaking in tongues. So I wonder what you do praying when you can't pray in other tongues. How do you pray? Father, Lord, Father, Lord. I commit myself to you, Father, Lord. How? How do you do it? Father, King of Glory. Lord Jesus, Lord God. I'm grateful, Lord Jesus, that your mind will sway somewhere. I used to have a guy who used to pray like that. Father, Lord Jesus, God. Listen. How was the church born? La Kepa. The church was born Hipa with 120 members who could speak in tongues. Hipa Kopa. So you can't be a part of the New Testament church. You can't pray in tongues. No. No. The revival they saw in the early church came by that special manifestation of the Spirit. They appeared upon them cloven tongues as of fire. And each of them opened their mouth and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit supplied utterance. Are you with me? Start where you are. Make a decision. I'll be a person of prayer. And then start. Here's the beautiful thing. once you start, I said it while we were praying, once you start, that decision to start is an invitation to your helper. He's called the Holy Ghost. The Bible says, it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. We have a quickener who lives in us. Are you with me? We have a quickening spirit. Ah, the psalmist says, quicken us, O God, that we may call upon your name. That means real prayer cannot happen until we're quickened. But see, this quickening is by the ministry of a helper. And a helper does not initiate, he comes to help. Your invitation to him is that decision to be a person of prayer. You are showing up. If it's 5 a.m. every day, you are showing up. Lord, I'm here. If it's 6 a.m. every day, you are showing up. And you may feel the most carnal, it makes no difference. As you show up, your helper too will show up. As you stay, your helper will show up. It's like starting a dynamo. That's what they call it. That mechanical, the generator. The generator. You turn it in. Or you ignite. That means there has to be an external force.
Yes,
to start. You don't need the Holy Ghost to speak in tongues. It's a language he gave to you to use at will. So you will start. You will start. And then he shows up. If I let me add, you will start and continue. That's what the discipline is. That's what the consistency is. Maybe let's go there. The decision to start. Two, the discipline to continue. The discipline to continue. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The discipline to continue. This talks about routines, regimens, and persistence. That takes discipline. Again, we see the early church exemplify that. Acts chapter 3 verse 1, at the hour of prayer, they were there. Acts chapter 10 verse 2, at the hour of prayer, Cornelius was praying. There are many examples in the book of Acts. Many examples. The discipline to continue. This is what you should not forget. Routine and regimen. Don't hate routines. Are you with me? Don't hate routines. It brings consistency and multiplies results. Don't hate it. And it's the same thing for a prayer life. Don't hate it. Are you aware that your literacy was at the mercy of routines and regimen? You had to go to school at 8 a.m. every day. When you got there late, you got flogged. You got discipline. You had to write your exams at a particular time of the year. When you go to high institution, there was regimen, there was routine, there was discipline. They gave you a timetable. Every Monday at 9 a.m., you had Mass 101. Are you with me? If you didn't show up on Monday, you missed the class. There was routine and regimen. So your literacy was at the mercy of routine and regimen. Listen, nothing works on the earth without routine and regimen. A while ago, I was talking to someone about the success of certain Eastern religion. You know what I'm talking about? How they have made so much progress in the last 1,000 years. And when you look at the operation, they have developed a culture of routine and regimen in pushing their agenda, in pushing their doctrines, in pushing what they believe. A culture of routine and regimen. A child at a particular age has to cram certain things. You know what I'm talking about? At a particular time, prayer must go up. The same things must be said. 5 times a day. Saying the same thing. For 1,500 years. You remember compound effect? Remember compound effect? That a penny can multiply to become $10 million in 31 days. If it keeps doubling every day. So we cannot prosecute the agenda of heaven without understanding. Listen, this is how the earth is fashioned. That things produced by compound effect. And that means you have to pay attention to routines and regimen. The same thing with your prayer life. Separate a time. Separate a place in your house where you meet with God. Are you with me? You see, let it be that not being in that place at that time is the exception, not the rule. I mean, if things can come up and you are not there, it's fine. But when you are available, you are there at that time. Can I get an amen? Amen. You are there. Try what I'm telling you and you see a change. You are there. And you can break it across the day. Morning, evening. Routine. They went to pray at the hour of prayer. It was a Jewish culture that the early church adopted. Because it came from God. You can pray at any time. But ensure you have a system that holds you accountable. That's what I'm saying. Because it takes discipline to sustain a prayer life. Prayer starts as a decision. It must continue as a discipline until it becomes a delight. Most times people decide, but they are not disciplined to continue. And that discipline also covers your seasons of protracted prayer. Because a prayer life does not end by, okay, I give God 1 hour every day. No, it's not enough. It's not enough. The discipline covers seasons of protracted prayer. I told you in Acts chapter 2 verse 42, the word or the phrase that continues steadfastly. I told you it suggests three things. Number one, consistency. Number two was protracted. Number three was fervent. That means there are seasons of protracted prayer. Make no mistakes about it. And that too takes discipline to continue. Discipline. You decide to pray for 7 hours every day for 3 days as you fast. You pray for 2 hours and remember somebody you should have called. And you think the person will be angry if I don't call them. It's not true. They'll not be angry. Switch off the phone and continue. The discipline to continue. The discipline to continue. Sometimes all you have is a dry mouth and a tired jaw. Continue. Because you don't need feelings. Amen. You don't pray because you feel like praying. That's why it's called discipline. Discipline simply means doing what is demanded, not what is convenient. That's the simple definition of discipline. What is demanded? Today, I'm going to pray 7 hours in this room. I'm going to pray 3 hours, 5 hours in this room. Listen, after this teaching today, sit down and restructure your prayer life. Sit down and create a system of prayer, a system for your personal prayer. They say Rome was not built in one day. Compound effect. Are you with me? When do you get to have your prayer stretches in the month? Write it down. If it's the first week of the month, you are separating 3 days. Of course, the whole church usually fasts 3 or 7 days. You will join. Create a system. And then you will pray with fastings. What I'm saying is time is going. You can't be quiet when you don't have a functional prayer life. You can't. You can't. God did not lie now. It's unto him that answers prayers. To him shall all flesh comes. The answer must come. There's no such thing as wasted prayer. Except you pray amiss. And we have given enough scriptural evidence not to pray amiss. Enough scriptural reference not to pray amiss. The discipline to continue. You see, the days of long prayer stretches are here. Yeah. When we call for corporate prayers, be available. I'm going to get a community. Be available. It sparks your prayer life. Are you with me? Be available. You will carry that fire to your private place. This is not to scare you, but if your eyes are open to see what they are planning for you, listen, you... Satan cannot be the only one planning for you. You too should plan for him. And the way you plan for him is prayer. Satan is planning. What are you doing? You too should plan for him. Plan for him. Plan for him. That means you are slimy. You are slippery rather. He can't catch you. Because he was planning to meet you on Kaduna Road. As you were praying, you went through Bouchy Road. Why? The Spirit of God came to you as we were praying. And he said, go to about your road. Sometimes you don't need to hear a voice. There will be an impression. There will be perceiving. You just move. You know, one of our dear sisters, I think we were talking with First Lady some days ago, about the power of covering. Let me tell you. It's difficult to die anyhow when you have a covering. I assure you that. If you don't believe anything I've said, believe what I just told you. It's extremely difficult. Extremely difficult. And I think that's what we're talking about. Extremely difficult. And we're just recounting the testimonies of deliverance that our brethren have had. Gunshot at close range, alive. Angelic intervention. Somebody will appear and pull them out of the midst of the chaos. One day, I believe it was Jessica, Mrs. Onu. She was single. She came out of, and I think a week before that, we make certain declarations against the spirit of death. I remember. How many remember the Polo explosion of some years ago? 4 years ago or so. A tank, a fuel tank that exploded. She came out of a car. She was sitting at the edge of the car, a passenger vehicle, of course. So somebody inside wanted to come out. So she came out, the person came out, and then it was time for her to go in. She said something held her legs. Something held her legs. She stood there. The driver said, come in. Are you not coming? Come in. She was transfixed. She couldn't talk. She couldn't respond. She just stood there. Come in. They were even shouting, why are you wasting our time? Like 3 minutes passed. And then she came in. As she was stepping in, bam, before them. That means if she had gone in at the right time, they'll be directly behind the tank. How can you explain that? Supernatural interventions. But they don't happen by themselves. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The discipline to continue. You see, in secular performance coaching, you'll be told that 60% of your time should be given to routines. That's a reality in the network of world leaders. So I told you, it's a law that works in the earth. The power of routine and regimen. Never forget that. It takes discipline to develop a devotional life. Don't depend on your feelings. Okay, pray even when you don't feel like praying. Pray even when you don't feel God. Can I get an amen? Amen. This dimension of prayer is called laboring. 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 In pains, you are praying. Are you with me? No emotions, you are praying. Colossians 4 verse 12. Is there Epaphras who is one of you? He salutes you. Always laboring for you. Always laboring. Laboring how? In prayer. So there's a dimension of prayer called laboring. And you see, this is where this discipline comes in. Because if you think prayer is always pleasant, it means you don't understand the labor dimension of prayer. You don't. Always laboring for you in prayers. Laboring, he qualifies it with an adjective. He qualifies it with an adjective. Always laboring fervently. That means there was an intensity in his prayer. When Epaphras was praying, his entire being was galvanized to pray. Lika pepe kutapati. Jepekopati lekopa. Embali keposa. Intensity. Intensity. Energy is exerted. Intensity. It has nothing to do with feeling. You know, I was spending the night. I didn't feel like praying. Honestly. I knew what it meant. Amen. My room was getting comfortable. I went downstairs. And then I began to pray. You see, I already knew that all I need to do is to show up and to stay there. The heavens will break. Are you with me? By the time it was 11:30, pekopata, I started feeling surges of the anointing. Surge. Ega bego gebika. You know, I knew the oscillation frequency has reached the maximum. Something had taken over. Are you with me? Continue. Make prayers. Those of you who are younger, you are single, nobody is disturbing you, no child is crying. Make prayer. Have prayer conversations. Have prayer groups. Are you with me? Have prayer companions. Challenge yourself to pray. Somebody will come and say, I just pray for 10 hours. You have never prayed for 10 hours. You go and lock yourself up. Lika kepetosika. Shepe kopati le kopati. Lembrope. In the 10th hour, you feel tired. Discipline to continue. You will stay there until the heavens break. And listen, make no mistakes about it. Something is happening to you. Something is happening to you. Hear me. Why do we have a lot of people with Christian names not carrying Christian power in the marketplaces of life? No prayer life. That's why. They run off. So at the slightest provocation, they give up. They compromise. Because prayer will furnish in you capacity. Prayer will enlarge you. Pray for 10. Fast and pray now. Listen, there is power inside of you. Fast and pray. You see it. I've told you before. Everybody has power. Fast and pray. You see it. The manifestation may be different. For some, it will work with making money. For some, it will work with healing people. Others, it will work with getting people saved more. Do you understand? But there is power. Resident dunamis. Are you with me? Resident. I'm telling you. Pray 10 hours. For 3 days first. Rush it for 3 days. And you know what I'm telling you. Number one, your eyes will be open. You begin to see. Everybody can see you. Start praying. It is lack of prayer that is making you as blind as bat. It's prayerlessness. Start praying. Your eyes will open. Deceive. Nobody can deceive you. Let me tell you, it's difficult to lie to me. It's extremely difficult. I either tell you or just keep quiet. It's difficult. I picked that longest time. Anybody who's lying to me, I know. I'm not bragging. I'm telling you. It's spiritual perception. There's a way it comes to me. And it's in the place of prayer. You know those specific faculties in your personality. How you relate things. In a hotel, I was passing by a man. I smelled formalin. And he was the spirit of death. You see, another person can pass an off. In fact, another Christian can smell the formalin and say, ah, why is smelling like that? The spirit of God is trying to talk to him, but he has not sustained enough spiritual intelligence, enough spiritual recognition system to interpret what the spirit is saying. I passed by this guy, smelled formalin. I say, I see the spirit of death. Come here. And he says, sir, like something has been sitting on my chest for about a week now. In the night, I can't breathe. How can you explain? You know, formalin, that is a chemical used for embalming dead bodies. How can I pass? And nobody there can perceive it. It's spiritual. Are you with me? But you see, I'd interacted in the spirit to interpret what is it, to pick it and interpret it. I prayed for him and he was free. Are you with me? So when you begin to pray, the channels of your spirit open. Faculties that are latent becomes activated. Senses, your spiritual organs of perception becomes sharpened. Sharp! You know in business when someone is trying to deceive you. You know. If I sometimes by proxy, you know. Somebody says, I see so you say this. You know that no, it's not true. Be careful. He just comes to you. Why the channels? You see, we cannot overemphasize the importance of prayer. Of a prayer life. To sojourn through this word blind is unnecessary. It's unnecessary. You start picking signals. Sometimes that will mean life and death. The discipline to continue. And of course, the delight. That means when the heavens break, take advantage of it. Yes. Take advantage of it. Take advantage of it. Meaning prophesy. Do as occasion serves you. You see, sometimes the anointing of God is strong in a place. People don't know what to say. Talk. Prophesy. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's wrap up very quickly. I'm out of time. The three pillars of a prayer life. Number one, communion. I've spoken extensively about that. Communion. He says, our Father, which art in heaven. And I've said this, you can write this down. An accurate prayer life begins with an authentic picture of God. An accurate prayer life begins with an authentic picture of God. Again, that's the first foundation, the first pillar now. It's communion. In communion, you will lose your will to His. Prayer is more of a communion than transaction, right? It's more of a communion than transaction. Again, I flogged that already. In this communion, you'll feel and catch the heart of the Father, that kingdom come. And this is how you become more and more like Him. Now, I talked about the quickening of the Spirit. It is this communion mindset that positions you for the quickening of the Spirit. Psalm 80 verse 18, quicken us, O Lord, and we'll call upon thy name. Psalm 80 verse 18. Yes. Listen, without the Holy Spirit, you cannot go deeper in prayer. It's not possible. So we have to emphasize the ministry of the Spirit in prayer. Always recognize the Holy Ghost. Even when you don't feel like praying, learn to open your mouth and say, precious Holy Spirit, I'm here. Strengthen me to pray. Strengthen me to pray. And He will show up. He is consistent. He will show up. He will show up. Strengthen me to pray. He will show up. He will come to quicken you. He will come to energize you. Yes, He will. Until He takes over the prayer. Oh, hallelujah. Until He takes over completely. I said, hallelujah. Glory to God. Abeko petosi kabaya. Communion. The second is commitment. Commitment. Or consistency, as it were. Remember the story Jesus gave? It's amazing. Jesus taught many dimensions of prayer in St. Luke's Gospel. That same Luke 5, when He taught them about prayer, when you get to verse 5 down, He gives us a dimension of prayer that suggests persistence. I think the last part of this teaching, the last Sunday of the month, will talk about the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith is not a prayer you pray once and go. The prayer of faith talks about the doggedness of faith in prayer. Yes, because in that Luke 18, that He gave a parable that men ought always to pray and not to faint. He was teaching about faith. He said, when I return, verse 6, shall I find faith on the earth? But what did He say? Which example did He give? A woman who went to the judge that had no regard for God or man to avenge her of adversaries. He said, because of her importunity. So Jesus equated importunity to faith. He equated importunity to faith. Are you with me? It's the same thing in verse 5. You read 5 to 7. Of Luke 11. He said, because a man was sleeping, right? A man had a visitor. So he went to meet his friend to give him bread. You remember the story? He's there on the stage. And the man said, well, I've closed my door. I can't come out. What an excuse. I'm with my children. They are in my bosom. I can't come out. But Jesus said, because of his importunity. Because of his importunity. An idea. It means shameless persistence. Shameless persistence. Shameless persistence. You insist until the answer comes. It's a dimension of prayer. Glory to God. But in this regard, commitment. Feel like you're committed. And number 3, community. Community. You see, your personal prayer life can be energized or quickened and quickened by corporate prayers. Yes, it can. There's what I call mutual edification. You see, you will notice that God, there's a way I wrote it. Let me read it out for you. According to the scriptures, the operational strength of the New Testament church is as much communal as it is personal. So Jesus taught the prayer of communal prayer in Matthew chapter 18:19. Remember, if two of you shall agree, where two or three are gathered, glory to God forevermore. In the book of Acts, we saw corporate prayers producing fire. And then the people left there with fresh fire spilling everywhere. So doing prayer with the community of believers create opportunities for what I call mutual edification. Have you ever been in a prayer meeting where the tongues of one brother edified you? Are you with me? The Bible says, he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. But this one, their own tongues edified you. Glory to God. And in scripture, you were edified. Because fire is coming together. Imagine 500 of us burning with fire. A cold person comes in, he must catch fire. Or a lukewarm person comes in, he must catch fire. I call it mutual edification. Community, listen. Community affects your prayer life. If you belong to a praying community, it will rub on you. If you belong to a praying community, something will happen to your prayer life. And how do you belong? You have to deliberately bring yourself. Don't stay away in corporate prayer. No. Don't just see, value prayer meetings like you value Sunday services. In fact, is a proof, is an evidence of your growth and maturity. Value prayer meetings like you value Sunday services. Community, mutual edification. Things are dropping in you that you don't even know. They are sharings in the spirit. Glory to God. All they are sharings. They are distributions of the Holy Ghost. Things are moving from here there. Are you with me? When you come together, look at what we were praying together earlier. See the fire that was going up. Things are happening to you. They are distributions. Community affects your prayer. And why is this important? Prayer meetings. Prayer services. Tomorrow we'll be having prayer bench. Amen. For 8 hours. Be around. He said, I don't have any need. All my needs are met. Then you don't hear the whole message. You didn't hear the whole message. Let me tell you. The angel of the Lord told Elijah. He said, stand and eat. For the journey is yet far. I announce to you, your journey is far. Eat spiritual food. Your journey is far. You don't know what's going to happen 5 years from now. You don't know what's in your path 10 years from now. It could be this praying here and there. You see, one of the greatest deceptions in the body of Christ is this thing that the physical results are a testament and are the only proofs that you are praying. It's a lie. It's a lie. The strength of your spirit, the energy of your spirit. Are you with me? Do you know your greatest blessing in the evil day? Everybody must go through the evil day. Everybody. A strong spirit is your greatest asset in the evil day. And it's impossible to develop a strong spirit without prayer. It's impossible. Who told you that the only answers to your prayers are the houses, the cars, and your business flourishing? Those are important, but not the only thing. The capacity it gives to your spirit. Are you with me? The signature giftings it activates. Are you with me? The days will come where your wife may call or your child will come and mention something that no human can help you solve. It's not that day you start emergency prayer. No. No. Are you with me? No. Your prayer bank will speak. You know prayer bank, the way you put money in the bank, you can put prayer in the bank. In the bank of heaven. Is there. You are prayed up. Liga barapa. And every opportunity you are adding it, you are adding up. And that's what happened in our corporate prayer. Ika bede kopate. Mande kosishte puraba. So you live ready. You live ready. You live ready. Community. Community, when we're praying, you are journeying to pray. You are there to pray. Not because you have needs. No. No. There's a greater cause. Amen. There's a greater cause. Your destiny is important. There's a greater cause. So every opportunity to pray, you are praying. As I am, I'm not praying enough. Do you understand? Do you want to pray yet? And I pray. That's what I do for a living. You understand? Yes. And I see, there are times I will pray for 10 hours. Then when I'm done, I'll feel the anointing, but I will still be dissatisfied. Honestly, I took a while. I said, what's wrong with me? But I knew what was wrong, amen. It's the size of the destiny. You can't use blue gen to power a 100 kVA destiny. You can't. You know that small blue gen? I better pass my neighbor. You can't use it to push. Listen, can you use it to run NASCO? Selah. The gen cannot start. It will start. That your small gen at home. Listen, can you use it to run NASCO company? Talk to me. Can you use it to? No. Hear me. Some of you have a destiny of NASCO company, but your gen is blue gen, small blue gen. 1 kVA. How will it power? So when God is putting impressions to pray, it's because of what he sees. Oh, you say, I'm going to do this business. I'm going into tech. God has seen something ahead. That's why he's bringing this message to you. Be available to pray. If all you did was come pray in tongues for 7 hours, it's fine. You don't need prayer points. Your spirit is enlarged. Your capacity is stretched out. The times will come when you will need certainty of power. It will show. You will withdraw. It will show. It's not in the day of battle you prepare. No. See the size of your destiny and see the power you are generating. Start speaking in tongues where you are. Just pray. Oh God. Now I feel like praying. Ah, Elohim. Ah, Elohim. Ah, Elohim. Ah, Elohim. Just pray. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, your name is to be hallowed. Adonai. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, your name is to be hallowed. Adonai. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, oh, your name is to be hallowed. Oh, Adonai. From the rising of the sun,
something very certain,
King of the same, oh, your name is to be hallowed. Adonai. Oh, from the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, oh, your name is to be hallowed. Adonai. Shkapatola. Woo! From the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, hey, your name is to be hallowed. Hey, just pray. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, your name is to be alone. Shkapatola balako, shkapatola balako, shkapatola balato.
Hey, Lord, my prayer life is receiving a transformation.
Just pray. Oh, from the right. Overflow. Just make sure you are praying. To the saving of the saints. Your name is
good.
Pray. Oh, from the right. Sing of the song. To the setting of the
Beloved, we know you've been blessed by God's word today. For more life-transforming messages like this, you can visit our website, library.gloryzoneglobal.org, and you can also follow us on our various social media platforms on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram at Glory Zone Church. Stay blessed.